I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. For though I am free from all people, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may gain more. To the Jews I have become as a Jew, so that I may gain Jews. To those who are under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being under the law myself, so that I might gain those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, I become as one without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might gain those who are without the law. So many laws. To the weak I become weak, and I might gain the weak. I become all things to all people, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it.
There you go, I was under the law just then. So good to be here with you today. Glad to see all of you here with us today. We've got a few visitors that I see. We've got some all the way from Texas. Big Longhorn fan over there. Yeah. You're not in Longhorn country up here, I'll tell you. And I want to mention this too. I'm a Razorback. Y'all know that. By the way, Sweet 16. But anyway, I'm a Razorback. Y'all know that. And I remember one time when Texas came up to play Arkansas at Arkansas. This was back in the 1900s. About 1901. Yeah. Texas had just beaten Oklahoma. Yeah. And they came up to Arkansas, and Texas was ranked number one in the nation. And this was when Lou Holtz was the coach at Arkansas. That tells you how far back you got to go. Lou Holtz was the coach at Arkansas, and I was a student up there. And Arkansas beat Texas. Texas was ranked number one. Arkansas wasn't even ranked. And Arkansas beat Texas. And we were so excited about it, I was one of the ones that went down on the field and tore the goalpost down. And that hadn't happened since then until it happened this year when they tore the goalpost down again when they played Tennessee. You know, they played Tennessee and beat Tennessee. They tore the goalpost down again. And I wasn't there for that one, though. But anyway, that's how far back that went. That went a long way back. And that rivalry has been there since the Southwest Conference days, and that's way, way, way back. But we are sure glad to have all of you here with us today. We are sure glad that you are with us today. I want you to know that the last several meetings that we've come together, if you haven't noticed, I've been talking about going out and preaching the gospel to people in the world. That's what I've been talking about. And we've been extremely successful here, and things have been going extremely well. And I'm very proud of that. But there's always room for improvement. There's always room to get better and to reach out to others. And I want you to know that I am on a board and also in a group that comes together in Fort Smith. The board comes to, it's a historical society, comes together once a month in Fort Smith, and the other board that I'm on comes together once a month in Fort Smith. And so Monday night was one of our board meetings. And so I came together with the other people. And some of you have already heard this story from Wednesday night, if you were here Wednesday, because it kind of got my attention, and so I want to bring it to you. But in this board that we met on Monday, this last week, there's two preachers on that board. There's me and this other guy. Now, I'm not going to tell you where he's from or what denomination he preaches with or whatever. And he just came over to me. I was sitting there waiting on the meeting to begin. I was over in my chair, and I was sitting there waiting on the meeting to begin. And he came over, and he sat down beside me. And said, "Steve, what did you preach on last Sunday, or yesterday?" He said, "What did you preach on?" And so I told him that I had preached about looking out for the weaker brother and eating of the meat or not eating of the meat and all these different things that we'd been talking about. And so, you know, I told him what we'd been teaching. And he looked at me and he said to me, "You know, I've preached at every type of church that there is, except I've never preached at a Church of Christ." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Because y'all believe that you have to be baptized to go to heaven." Yeah. Guess what? Some doors flew open there. And so I just kind of looked at him and I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you this. I believe that very strongly as well." And then he looked at me and he said, "Well, don't try to convert me." That's what he said. "Don't try to convert me." And I said, "Okay, I won't." And then he started in and he said, "There was a woman that was a Church of Christ woman, and she tried to convert me for a year. And she kept sending me Bible verses and all these different things to try to convert me for a whole year. She tried to do that." And he said, "And I wouldn't convert." I said, "Okay." "Okay." And then I looked at him before the meeting started. I looked at him. I said, I said, "You know, if you ever really want to talk about this, if you ever really want to see the verses that we use that convinces us that you need to be baptized in order to get to heaven, I said, I will sit down with you at any time. Any time." And folks, I want you to know that this man, actually, I've known him since high school. He and I played baseball against one another. He played for Mansfield, I played for Fort Smith. We played against each other. Played the same position. He played first, I played first. But it was very interesting because, number one, I didn't bring it up. He did. And number two, his attitude was such, "Don't even try, I'm not going to do it." Well, guess what? That makes me want to try so that I can see. Okay? And I can tell you this, without a doubt, that every time I see him from now on, at our meetings that we have once a month, I will be bringing it up. I will. Now, I tell you this story because it's always interesting to me to see God throwing doors open to you, where you have the opportunity to spread the gospel, when you have the opportunity to talk to somebody about the plan of salvation. Because it happens. It happens so much. And there are times in my life when the door came open and I did not go through it. And I still remember those times, and those times bother me that I didn't take the opportunity to go through it. And I've told you the story about when I was over in Alma in the gym there, and there were some people sitting behind me, and they were talking about the History Channel. And this older lady said, "You know, I don't believe in God anymore because the History Channel says that all these things happened by this and this and this and this." And I didn't take the opportunity to turn around and talk to them about it. And I should have. I've got a master's degree in history. History proves the Bible. And I could have taken that opportunity and didn't. But the one thing that I got out of that is this. I will never let that opportunity pass again without me saying something. Now I may get, just like this man told me, don't try to convict me, don't try to convince me, don't try to change me, I'm not going to do it. That's what I may get. But you know what? That's okay. Because the door is still open, and I will see him again, and when I see him again, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to continue knocking at the door, just like Jesus continues to knock at our door, to let him in so that we may become part of his kingdom and have a place with him in eternity. Last week I told you that one of the things that we need to do is to make sure that we take people from where they are and bring them to where they should be. The Bible teaches us to do that quite often, to take them from where they are and bring them to where they should be. And I mentioned last week, you know, when you tell people that you're from the Church of Christ that don't attend the Church of Christ, they'll look at you and they'll say, well, y'all don't believe in music. All of us have heard that before, that we don't believe in music. That's wrong, folks. You know why? Because I like music. I sing all the time. My wife even told me not to. We had a waitress over at Red Lobster Friday night, and her name was Mariah. Now, some of you don't know this, but I do. You ever seen Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin paint your wagons? Ever seen that? They called the wind Mariah. Well, I couldn't let that pass. Her name was Mariah. And so I had to stop her. And I said, Mariah. I said, they called the wind Mariah. Yeah. And she said, yeah. She said, my mother named me after that. I said, well, have you ever seen that movie? And they said, no, I've never seen it. And I said, well, if you ever do, you'll see Clint Eastwood sing. First time ever. Clint Eastwood sings. Okay? Well, when she left, I looked at my sister was with us, and one of her friends was with us, and Kathy was with us, and I'm sitting there, and I go, you know, I could sing that song. And Kathy said, please don't. I said, you know, I could get up on that table right there and sing that song. Please don't. Yeah. Yeah. Good song. Good song. Folks, I love music. I love music. We don't not believe in music. But here's what we do believe in. We believe in singing to the Lord. And as I told you last week, we can get all wrapped up in those things, when in fact, the people that say that, they need to know about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's where they are. So what we need to focus our attention on are the things that where they are situated in the fact that they don't believe that you have to be baptized in order to get to heaven. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. John 3:5 tells us from very point blank that if you are not born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Pretty plain. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us very plainly, baptism now saves you. Mark 16:15-16 tells us that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Belief and baptism go together. It is a requirement. So folks, we need to go right where they are. And like I told you before, anytime somebody tells me that y'all don't believe in music, my response is, well, yeah, we do. But if you really want to know the difference, if you really want to know the difference, all you need to do is ask, and I will show you where our differences are. And most of the differences that we see in today's modern religion is the fact that they teach that you don't have to be baptized. That's the number one difference. So let's go at them, right where they are, and focus our attention on that. Now today what I want to look at is becoming all things to all people so that we might win a few. That's what I want to look at today. And I want to start with Paul himself. Because Paul himself tells us that to the Jews he became as a Jew. To the Gentiles he became as a Gentile. So that he might win a few. He's doing it so to bring them in. He's telling us that he is free from all those things. And we talked about eating meat or not eating meat and all those different type situations. We've already talked about that, so we don't need to chew that fat again. But here's what we need to look at. There's no sin in eating that meat or not eating that meat. But if somebody makes a deal out of it, we need to give up our freedom in order so that we can bring them to where they should be. Now, we can get in all kinds of discussions about musical instruments in the church. We can get into all kinds of discussions about taking the Lord's Supper every week. And those are important. Don't think they're not important, because they are. But we're also told by Jesus that we should focus our attention on that which is weightier and not neglect the others. And that which is weightier is that these people need to know that you need to be baptized. They need to know that. And we need to hold firm to that. So Paul became all things to all people. Timothy is another great example. Because realize that Timothy's father was not a Jew. He was not a Jew. And so they would not allow Timothy to go into the synagogues because Timothy had not been circumcised. So what did they do? Timothy got circumcised so that he could go into the synagogues and he could teach to the Jews. He became as one who was circumcised so that he might win over those who were circumcised. That's the example. Becoming like those, even though it's not required in the law, even though it's something that I am free from, I don't have to do those things, even though that's the situation, you can become like that in order so that you may win a few to Christ. Now, we have to always be careful, always, to make sure that our younger brother does not stumble because of something that we do based upon our freedom. I've told you before that I can go into any bar, anywhere, at any time, and never be tempted in the least to take a drink of alcohol. I don't know why that is, but that's the way it's always been with me. I've never. So I can go anywhere like that. But realize that if I walked into a bar and one of y'all saw me walk into that bar, I've made the comment it'd be out there on Facebook before I could get out of that bar. That our preacher is in the bar. folks, but I didn't do anything. Well, we got to look out for that. I got in a real good discussion with Dick as we were driving to Oklahoma City the other day, Tuesday, and we were talking about this very thing. There are things that I don't do because I'm concerned about my weaker brother. There are places that I don't go because I would be concerned about my weaker brother. Because if you saw me going in there, you might think something that is not true. And folks, let me tell you something. If you see me go to a place like that, come talk to me about it before you put it out there on Facebook. Okay? Because I want you to know, as being a graduate of the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville, the number one party school in the country, that there were a lot of times that I got phone calls from my friends late at night. Say, Steve, could you come pick up Tony? Tony's too drunk to drive. And so I'd go in those bars to get Tony out of the bars. And I use Tony as an example because Tony became an alcoholic. And Tony literally drank himself to death. He died at 42. Now, realize that there's no sin in me going in to get Tony. There was never a sin there. But if somebody saw me, I could cause my weaker brother to stumble. So we always have to be careful about our weaker brother to make sure that they understand exactly what's going on, exactly what's happening. And if you have an issue with me personally, especially, you come see me and I'll tell you all about it. Okay? Now, here's the question. When should we not go against our freedoms? In other words, we're free to do these things, but Paul tells us, don't go against your freedoms at certain points. And when you go back to that situation with eating meat or not eating meat, remember he says, don't go to that situation if the person that is feeding you that meat tells you that it has been offered as a sacrifice to an idol. Don't go that route. Even though you're free to do it, even though that meat is offered up to nothing, and you know that, in that case, you don't go against it. Why? Because you're going to cause a problem with that weaker brother, or you're going to cause a problem with that individual. So don't go that route. And Paul's very specific about that. He says, don't do that. Because if you do it, you're going to cause your brother to fall. Now, one of the things that I want to bring up here is Jesus and that Pharisee in Matthew chapter 15, verse 2. Because what was happening there was Jesus had been invited to come over to the Pharisee's house and have lunch with him. And so Jesus goes. Now, in that case, I am very much like Jesus. Because if you invite me to eat, I'm going to come eat. Most cases, I'm going to be there right there with you. But now, that's where the similarities pretty much end. He's Jesus, I am not. But realize what was happening. The Pharisee was trying to use that in order to catch Jesus in something. And as you read further down in the scripture, that's exactly what it says. The Pharisee was seeking to catch Jesus doing something wrong. And so Jesus did not wash his hands before he sat down to eat. Now, I told you this before. My mother always made me sit down and wash my hands before I ate. She always did. and she would look at me if I came in from outside and I sat down at the table. She'd look at me and she said, "Go wash your hands." Okay. Now, it's a good idea to wash your hands, especially if you're a boy, especially if you like to play in the dirt and play with other things that are also in the dirt, like I do, or did, pretty much still do. It's a good idea to wash your hands. But realize that that's not a command. It's not a command by God. And so therefore, I don't have to wash my hands if I don't want to. I'm free from that. Mom's not allowed to tell me that anymore. So realize that Jesus knew that he was trying to catch him in something, and therefore Jesus went against, what does it say, the tradition of the elders. Tradition. Now that's not a command, is it? Now I've told you about the traditions here. You know, we may have tradition that we sing two songs and have a prayer and have two songs and have the Lord's Supper, two songs, and then the preacher gets up and preaches, and then we have two songs, an invitation song and a closing song, and we go home. But if we have three songs and then a prayer, or four songs and then the Lord's Supper. And I told you this story before about this lady that came up to me one time. I'd walked in this small church, and they didn't have a song leader, and they looked at me and said, "Hey, can you lead us our songs?" I said, "Sure, give me a songbook." And so I just start flipping pages, and I open it up, and I start to sing. And then we sing some songs, and I flip some more pages and sing some more songs. And then after the service was over, I had this older lady come up to me, and she said, "That's not how we do it." I said, "It's not." And she said, "No, we have two songs and then the prayer. You had three." And I said, "Oh, okay." We got to realize what the difference is between tradition and command. Tradition was the two songs. The command was to sing. And so guess what we're going to do? We're going to dadgum sing. That's what we're going to do. And I appreciate Manny today. Manny did a great job today leading our song service. Folks, I like it when they're upbeat. I like it when we sing. We got some great song leaders here. And so we need to make sure we sing praises to God, because as Bob said, we're here for one purpose, and that's to worship God. See what the difference is between tradition and command. Now, realize that the church at Ephesus was held up high in the book of Revelation because they tested everything to make sure it was of God and not of man. And when they found it to be of man, they called it out. And when they found it to be of God, they accepted it. And folks, that's exactly how we should be. When we find it to be of man, we should call it out. But when we find it to be of God, we should accept that. And we should go with it. And so the church at Ephesus was held up because they tested all things to make sure it was of God. Not tradition. And so realize that we have become a slave to Christ because we chose to do so. And in choosing to do so, we become that slave to Christ to do what he has commanded us to do. That's what we're to do. If it's tradition, we can do it or we cannot do it. But if it's a command, we need to do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We need to do it. That's why when we are commanded in Acts chapter 2:38 to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then we need to do that. Follow that command to believe and to be baptized. Follow that command. This is the command. Now, the last verse that I have up there is this. We as Christians, and I'm talking to the vast majority of the people in this audience today, we as Christians need to make sure that everything that we do is for the purpose of glorifying God and bringing others to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if we have to give up our freedoms of eating certain types of meats or whatever it may be, if we have to give up our freedoms to do that, that's fine. But don't give up your freedom when it comes to the Word of God. The incident that happened to me on Monday was very important to me. Very important. Because a door has been opened. And I will continue to push through that door. Folks, when a door is open for you, push through it. Teach the Word. There is no greater gift that you can give to a person anywhere at any time. There's no greater gift that you can give to a person than the plan of salvation. There's no greater love that you can show to another person than to teach them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because this is not just for today. This is not just for this month. This is not just for your lifetime. This is for an eternity. And folks, it is because we love others as ourselves, as we have been commanded to do, as the second greatest commandment, to love others as you love yourself. It is because of that that I want everyone to know the plan of salvation. Everyone. It's because I love you that I teach you the plan of salvation. It's because you love them that you show them the way. But realize that there is but one way, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Give up your freedoms when it comes to man's tradition. It's okay. Don't give up your freedoms when it comes to the Word of God. Hold fast, because within that Word is salvation. Within that Word is eternity. And within that Word is love that you have for one another. If you have a need this morning, a need to be baptized, or a need for prayer, we want to encourage you to come down as we stand.